Hello all, and welcome to the second episode of Hellcast. I'm Reaper, your host. We've got ourselves a pretty cool episode lined up here. We're going to have Joel from Toxic Holocaust calling in here, and he's going to answer a few of my questions, as well as tell us a bit about what's going on with the band and all that great stuff. Then we've got some upcoming shows to announce, as well as some new and upcoming releases that are pretty exciting. So, this is Hellcast, and we just deal with underground music. We won't be playing Iron Maiden, Slayer, or anything really big that you can think of, because, well, let's be honest, you probably already have it, and if you don't, you know it, so there's really no point in us wasting our time to go ahead and put that stuff on there just to, you know, take up some airtime. So, with that being said, let's go ahead and start out with the first band for episode two here, and this is Deathstrike, and this is Pay to Die.
Thank you.
That was Cemetery Urn of Spectral Dominance, and that's coming off the Conquered Are Burned album. Before that, we heard New York City Mayhem with Violent City, and that's coming off the double disc that just came out in Hell's Headbangers, The Metal Days / The Crossover Days. And then before that was Death Strike with Pay to Die. A little bit about that is it's a reissue. It's on CD already, and then the LP is coming out. It has the original 8 tracks that were featured on the 1991 Nuclear Blast edition. And then in addition to that, there's going to be a bonus 7-inch, or for the CD's sake, just bonus songs, which those are 4 rehearsal tracks that were never released before on anything. And then some releases that actually just came out today is the Sabbat Evoke LP, which is going to be on gold-colored vinyl. And then Nunslaughter Nocturnal split 7-inch picture disc. And then something else that has come out that's pretty exciting is the Malevolent Creation Demo 1987 LP. Now, there is a CD of that. I don't really know where you could get that. However, the LP is out there, and it's pretty easy to get. It's pretty fucking cool because it's the 1987 demo is something that supposedly has never come out. Like, it wasn't even released on a cassette that they spread out. So, essentially, I guess no one's ever heard it. So, that's a pretty cool release. There's a Die Hard version of it that comes out on splatter vinyl, and then just on black vinyl, I believe. And it has a lot of cool, rare photos, all that get up. So it's pretty cool. Pick that up if you get a chance. So we're going to go ahead and get back to some music here. Speaking of Malevolent Creation, coming off the, actually, the 1987 demo. No, she lay on the horse. We'll be right back. All right, so that was Sabbat with Envenom Into the Witch's Hole coming off the Evoke album. And before that, we heard Malevolent Creation with Sacrificial Annihilation. And that was from the LP that just came out, the demo 1987. So we're going to go ahead to the phone here. I got Joel Grime from Toxic Holocaust. Hi, Joe. How are you doing?
Doing really good, man. How about yourself?
Pretty good, man. You're our first guest on the show, so pretty excited about that.
It's an honor, man. That's cool.
So I remember back in the early 2000s, I was doing a sort of webzine called Reaper Metal, and you had sent me the Critical Mass demo, and that was actually my first experience, you know, seeing a band start out from the demo days and then get pretty big, you know, now being on Relapse and all that. Was that something that you were set out to do, was to get on a major label, or did you just pick up the guitar and want to play in a band, and one thing led to another, and you found yourself making a decision whether or not to be on a major label?
Yeah, man, I mean, I never had any goals, really, to begin with. I kind of just started playing, and, you know, it kept rolling, you know. Like, I would do a demo, trade it with friends and, you know, other people across the world and stuff, and, you know, word would spread, and then I would do, you know, something else, and then that would spread, and stuff like that. I always just focus on the thing that is coming up next, you know what I mean? I don't try to plan anything in advance too far. Yeah, the Relapse thing, it was one of those things that it kind of came at a good time because at that point I was basically doing all my own mail order for Toxic and stuff. And it, at one point, it was actually getting so, like, over the top with mail order that I wasn't getting enough time to focus on music.
Oh, wow.
And, yeah, it was pretty rough, man. Like, you know, I was working, and then I would get off and basically do mail order all night instead of, like, writing new songs and stuff like that. So that's kind of when I was like, well, you know, I think it's about time, you know, to kind of step it up a little bit with being able to focus on music a little bit more. And Relapse actually was in contact with us first, and they gave us a contract, and, you know, I sent it back. And, you know, I wasn't really, too interested in signing, you know what I mean? It was just, but I kept revising the contract, and, you know, we kept going back and forth, and I kind of just, it worked out to where it was really in our favor, and, you know, they gave us a really good deal, and they've really stood behind us the whole time. And, you know, it's something that, you know, I feel like it came at the perfect time, really.
Well, that's great. You know, congratulations on that, too. You know, it's always great to just start out and do just something for fun, and then next thing it's actually turned into something, you know?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, and it's still fun. That's the main thing, you know? It's like, it's not something that, you know, that I dread doing, like, oh, man, I got to do another record or something like that to fulfill my, you know, contract with a label or something like that. It's like, it's definitely, I still have the drive, and I still love doing it. And, you know, I still have tons more ideas for new stuff. You know, it's just always coming, you know. It feels good, because I really do, you know, I feel like I did when I did the Critical Mass demo. You know what I mean? I still feel like I have that same passion for it.
Oh, wow. So in the early days, you know, every tour, it seemed like you always had a different back, you know, a band backing you up. And would you say that having a different band pretty much in the location that you were going to tour at, do you think that helped you, you know, be able to travel more abroad, because you could, you know, just pretty much self-finance your own tour just being one guy flying out there, as opposed to, you know, if you got five guys in the band, that seems to be pretty expensive.
It really did, man. Yeah. It was one of those things, like, I was able to go to Australia in 2005. I was able to go to Singapore and Malaysia in 2004. You know, like, I was able to go to Japan in 2006. All that stuff because I only had to pay for one plane ticket, you know? And, you know, when I was in Japan, we had Abigail as our backing band. And, you know, it was just, it was very, very, it was perfect for the time. You know what I mean? It really helped me see a bunch of new places, meet a bunch of new people, and I got to travel the world. I got to see a lot of cool places.
Yeah, absolutely. So with, you know, now that you were doing all the traveling and stuff and from the old days, it even kind of seemed on the last album, Overdose of Death, you know, first Relapse album, that is, you had a drummer, but I guess he's just a session drummer, because obviously he's not on the new album, Conjure and Command. But on the new album, I've noticed that, you know, you open it up, you know, Joel Grind and then such and such, such and such. So are these members now of the band? Are they going to stick around, or what's the deal with them?
It's definitely a band, man. It's definitely, it took me this long to find other musicians that I've hit it off with this much. Mm-hmm. You know, it took me a really long time. And it wasn't, I think a lot of people get the impression that I'm like a dictator or something like that with music. I'm really not. I just ask for other people to be as focused and as dedicated to it as I am. You know,
absolutely.
It's really hard to find that with other musicians, because a lot of people just want to say they're in a band, or that a lot of people just, you know,
just
want to get all the perks from it, like get fucked up and, you know, bang chicks and stuff like that, which is awesome, but you got to focus on the music first, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. There's a lot of hard work, and a lot of people just don't realize that. And
there is, man. I mean, a lot of people think it's just a fucking party the whole time. And, you know, your main focus should be playing the shows, you know, making sure the shows are good. You know, making sure your fans are happy that, you know, you're playing the songs they want to hear. And make sure, I mean, you owe it to them. They're paying a ticket price to come see you. You owe it to them to give them a good show and be able to, like, play the songs and not be too fucked up to play them. You know what I mean?
Oh, absolutely. That's a very respectable attitude. So, well then, you know, that's kind of, I guess, maybe leads a little bit forward into my next question, because with the new album, it's obviously a little bit different. You know, it's you tune lower, There's a lot more double bass, and it's almost more straight ahead metal as opposed to, you know, the punk edge. I mean, it still has the punk edge, but not as strong as I noticed with the past albums. Is this something that naturally happened, or is it something that you kind of just sat down and were like, you know, I think we should probably switch it up a little bit?
Yeah, I definitely wanted to go in a different direction with this record because it just, you know, I felt like I've done the other stuff, and, you know, I had a bunch of ideas for this new record. From playing live so much, you know, throughout the Overdose of Death tours and stuff, like, I knew what I liked to play better live, and it was always the more, like, kind of like more aggressive, like heavier stuff. That was always the funnest stuff for me to play live. So, mm-hmm. I definitely focused on that for the new record. And, you know, I wanted to do something a little bit more dark. And, that's also why I did, you know, wanted to do the black and white album cover. And, you know, I just wanted to, and also in a way, I kind of wanted to do something different than the whole retro thrash thing that we got lumped into that I had no interest in being a part of, you know what I mean? Yeah. And we really were way ahead of the curve on that, but we got lumped into it, and that fucking wasn't very cool. So
yeah, but I wouldn't exactly say that you guys were retro thrash. You were like the godfather that opened kids' eyes that, hey, there's this great style of music that existed, yeah. And you know, and this is how it looked. And then, you know, everyone, they saw, I guess they go, oh, that guy looks cool or whatever. And then they started listening to those bands, you know, all the Bay Area bands, and, you know, started putting on the high top sneakers and stuff. And, you know,
totally, yeah.
So I guess in a way you're responsible.
In a way, good or bad, maybe. But it just, I purposely, that's another reason I get asked sometimes, like, why we switched our logo, because, you know, I used to say toxic thrash metal, and I switched to toxic heavy metal, and that was because thrash was such a buzzword when Overdose came out that I was like, I don't want any part of that. I don't want the extra record sales from fucking just having a thrash tag on it. You know, I just wanted to, because, I mean, we do play thrash, but it's, like, also encompassing a lot more. So it's, like, punk and
right.
straight ahead, regular heavy metal, some death metal stuff, like, all kinds of stuff, you know, that it's not just straight ahead, like, we don't sound like Violence from Bay Area or something like that, you know?
Right, and it's like,
I always thought we were more German thrash than fucking Bay Area anyway, but
plus, it's like putting thrash on there is almost one of the trends that those bands would do, is, you know, you gotta say it's thrash.
Yeah.
So how would you describe your experiences being on Relapse as opposed to being an independent artist?
It's kind of weird because it's very similar in a way. I think a lot of people have different experiences with being on labels, but, I have a really good, communication with, the head of Relapse, and we are kind of, in the same kind of similarly with Toxic, mm-hmm. because I didn't want us to be portrayed as, like, cheesy or, like, be, like, portrayed as, like, fucking, I don't know, again, the retro stuff or any of that kind of stuff. And we really tried to back away from that. And a lot of this, like, you know, they have no say in the way our albums sound, where we record them, who we do for an artist, like, what our songs sound like. They don't, like, ask us to hear demos of the songs before they release it, nothing.
Oh, wow.
I tell them, you know, we're going to record it. Like, for this one, I said, we're going to record it ourselves. You know, we're going to get this guy to do the art. And they were like, perfect, man. Just, you know, send me the copy when it's done and we'll put it out. So that's really cool, you know. And that's
absolutely.
Kind of, that's one of those things that it was important for me to have that control still. And that's why I didn't take the first thing that was offered to me, you know, from any of the labels. Like, it wasn't just Relapse, like a lot of labels. Of course, I mean, it is a business for them, you know what I mean? And of course they're going to want to make as much money as they can from it. But that doesn't mean you have to sign it, you know what I mean? Like, people that complain about the contracts they signed, they still signed them, man. You know, like,
right.
Like, no matter what, I mean, you didn't have to sign it. You know, it's not like you can still continue doing the records yourself if you don't like the deal that they gave, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. It seems like they've, I mean, ideally for really what happened to a lot of bands, though, but it seems like Relapse is still living up to, they, you know, they see you, they have their eye on you, and they kind of think to themselves, well, hey, this guy obviously knows what he's doing. And then you sign the contract, and it seems like they still honor that, whereas opposed to, you know, some of the bigger bands, let's say, hey, Metallica,
exactly.
They just fag out. And it's just,
totally.
Whether that was them or a record contract, either way, it had happened. So,
yeah, absolutely.
So in the past, a lot of, you know, newcomers to, you know, Toxic Holocaust may not know about a side project you did called War Ripper. Could you kind of elaborate a little bit about that?
Yeah, War Ripper was something I did in 2007. I just did a 4-song 7-inch back then on Hell's Headbangers, and basically I did it to kind of show my love for Hellhammer and Discharge, you know, and I kind of just combined those two. And I wanted to do something a little bit more like crusty punk, but also still have the same metal influences that I bring to Toxic, just kind of in a like filtered in a different way, sort of. But it's really reverb drenched and distorted, you know. And I played all the instruments on that, and I just wanted to do something to kind of get some of my other forms of creativity out that maybe I could have used with Toxic, but I wanted to do it in a different way a little bit.
Right.
So,
can we expect to see anything new from the band?
You know, I keep saying that there's going to be new stuff, and I just keep getting fucking swamped with like touring and stuff. But
right.
I have so many ideas, man. Like, I just have to basically go through them and, you know, put them down and record them. You know, it's just one of these days when I get some time, I'm going to record some shit. I have so many ideas.
I remember hearing back not too long after the 7-inch came out that you were going to be doing a split 7-inch with Evil Army.
Yeah, and that fizzled because the original label that was going to do it took a really, really long time to release it. It was, it was our friend in the UK. I think it was called TARDIS or something like that, Records. He changed the name shortly after that, but I can't think of what it was. But it was the same label that did the Tiger Junkies full length.
Oh, okay.
But he was going to release that, but it took him so long to release it that, you know, Evil Army ended up releasing the 7-inch, their original song that they recorded plus a cover for Hell's Headbangers, just for like a solo single, just them. But yeah, I still have that War Ripper song, but I think if I was going to release it now, I'd probably re-record it. It would probably make its way onto, you know, another release, probably in a different recorded form. But basically, the thing I'm really trying to focus on right now with War Ripper is I want to do the thing I've always wanted to do with War Ripper is to do a mini LP. Like, I wanted to do a 6-song mini LP, kind of like In the Sign of Evil or like, yeah, Sends of Death or something like that, just a cool mini LP like that, you know. And then I have a lot of, you know, split ideas, like, you know, I've talked about doing one with Reaper, one with like Dishammer, a bunch of stuff, but hopefully all that stuff will pan out. Like I said, I have so many songs that I'm sure I could probably record them all and you know, do all the splits and the mini LP and stuff, but
and
just getting time to do it.
Right. And you had mentioned just now Tiger Junkies. Can you elaborate a little bit about that for people that don't know about Tiger Junkies?
Sure. Yeah, Tiger Junkies is a band that me and Yasuyuki from Abigail started. It's kind of like perverted punk and metal stuff. It's like really sexual lyrics, like fucking alcoholic lyrics. It's kind of cool. Like a lot of the songs are about like just various tours that me and him have done together, and you know, like us going to Singapore, and it's cool. It's like we actually came up with that in Singapore because the whole time we were in Singapore, they kept giving us Tiger beer, which is I guess the local beer there. And so we came up with the Tiger Junkies because we were like always drinking Tiger beer. And then, of course, the first 7 is just called Sick of Tiger because we got so much of it. They're sick of it. But
that kind of explains. I was wondering. I was like, that's a little. I don't get it.
Yeah, it's the Japanese English stuff is always funny stuff.
Absolutely. So, what can we expect in the future for Toxic Holocaust?
Well, we got. We're doing a split with Midnight, and that's coming up soon. Yeah, we recorded, Midnight and Toxic both recorded new songs, both originals, and it's going to benefit Japan, like the disaster that happened over there, so all the proceeds are going to go to them, and Relapse is actually putting that out, and that's going to be cool because, you know, we got a lot of friends in Japan and stuff, and,
yeah, absolutely.
You know, it's definitely, it hit close to home for me and Jamie because, you know, we do have friends over there and we wanted to help those guys out over there. So,
right.
Yeah. And after that, you know, we got some more touring. We're going to Europe soon. Going over there with Trap Them and a band called Curveller Attack. That's going to be really cool. That's going to be, all through Scandinavia, mainland Europe and the UK.
Excellent.
And then after that, you know, same old shit, like lots more touring and recording stuff here and there, singles and, you know, 12 inches and shit like that. So,
excellent.
Always keeping busy.
Ah, good to hear. So I've got a track lined up here from the new album, Conjure and Command. Can you go ahead and give us a little bit of insight about the song?
Sure, man. This song is called Bitch, and people always are pretty shocked about that song title. It's about the Salem witch trials, so... It's about burning bitches and witches at the stake.
So a pretty appropriate title, to say the least.
Absolutely.
Well, cool, man. I appreciate you coming on the show, man. And like I said, congratulations. You're the first interview on the show. And I appreciate it, man. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks a lot, man. I appreciate the support.
Not a problem, man. You take care.
Take it easy, man.
Thanks. So, all right, as you heard it, this is coming off Conjure and Command. This is Bitch.
Church! Final rites recited as the fire begins to burn. Cursing all the holy men, the flames are growing higher. No fear in her eyes as the bitch does like fire. Fire up! Stop the fire! Burning in torment alive. For crimes, for sins. The bitch will be burned at the stake. For crimes, for crimes, for sins. The bitch will be burned at the stake.
that was Viral Void with Ritual Apocalypse coming off Thrown to the Wolves CD. And that's actually a compilation CD of everything they've ever done. They've actually, they started out as Viral Void and then they changed their name to Dawn of Wolves. And I think they're still currently around going under the moniker Dawn of Wolves. And then before that, of course, we heard Toxic Holocaust with Bitch. All right, so I've got a few shows to tell you about here. The first one is with Question of Madness, Mortal Mess, The Tards, Meat Shank, and Predator. And that is at Memories Bar in Chicago on September 2nd. So that's a good kickoff to the extended weekend we'll have then. So if you know, you're in the Chicago area or just want to go on a road trip, that might be a good time to go. More information on that, go to questionofmadness.com. Next up there, we've got on Friday, September 9th, Mortifier, Vindicator, and Madness on the Mountaintop. And that will be at Sadie Renee's in North Canton, Ohio. And for more information on that, go to mortifier.net. So I was going to get into a little bit more information, but we don't really have much time here, seeing that the interview went a little long. So I'm going to get back into some music here. This is Nocturnal with Welcome to the Slaughterhouse. That was Nocturnal with Welcome to the Slaughterhouse, coming off of the Possessed Creation CD, which is actually a compilation of rare studio and live tracks, as well as their 7-inch splits that they've done. So it's a pretty cool release, especially if you're a longtime Nocturnal fan or a new Nocturnal fan. So go ahead and check that out. That is Possessed Creations by Nocturnal. All right, I had to cut the music segment a little bit short there, as well as the information I was going to do at the end of the show here. So I'm going to go ahead and close the show, but I wanted to remind you that we do have a Facebook. We're on there. So if you're on Facebook and want to friend us, like us, or whatever all that stuff is, I'm not sure what the address is. So do a Hellcast, do a search. I'm sure you'll find it. We'll get that a little more easy to find in the future. Also, the website is hellcast.hellsheadbangers.com. Once again, as I said previously in the last episode, you do not put a www dot. It's as strictly as I said it, hellcast.hellsheadbangers.com. Please recommend us to any of your friends if you think they would dig the show, or if they like metal and want to know about good underground metal. And also reminding you, if you have a submission, whether it be music or a show or a release or any of that great stuff, hellcast@hellsheadbangers.com. Please make sure that if you're going to send me any music, that it's a high-quality MP3 file. 192 kbps would be preferred. If it's anything lower, I'm sorry I can't play it, because then it's not good enough quality, and the show itself is broadcasted in 192 kbps, so we can't exactly go less than that, otherwise it'll sound like shit. So I thank you for joining us here. I hope you enjoyed the show. I'm going to leave you with a little bit of a rarity here. This is Sadistic Intent, coming off their Conflict Within demo. This is Morbid Faith. Enjoy. See ya. We'll be right back.
Brought to you by Hell's Headbangers.com. Reminding you, when you